Prabhupada. Oh, let's hear what your mother's questions are first, and then after you.
Okay. I got a lot of questions, so maybe there's no time for all of them. But one thing was about the difference between, we say, simplicity and satisfaction are really important and necessary qualities for devotees. So the difference between simplicity and I don't know how to say it in English,
being undemanding.
Yeah, but in sometimes in a negative sense, somebody wearing a jumper that's got holes in it, but they feel it's still warm, so it's okay, but it doesn't kind of look proper anymore. So just if you could maybe explain a little bit about where is this line to draw, because normally
simplicity, something else?
Yeah, I just thought things like, if I don't buy new clothes because they're still okay, if I don't buy new kitchen furniture because they don't look so good but they still work, then I might have more money to give as a donation or give in charity or for to go on parikram to India or whatever. So where is this line to draw?
Well, simplicity and satisfaction is not just to do with dress. Simplicity is sort of a nature of a devotee, and if I remember right, Prabhupada defines it that he's not duplicitous.
Uh-huh.
Very straightforward. Satisfaction means to be satisfied with your quota, which then you need to know what the quota is. Part of it is, for instance, being satisfied with whatever you are. In other words, if you're a Brahmin or you're a Vaishya, you're satisfied with being that, and it isn't that you want to be something else. Sometimes devotees have this aversion to being anything else other than a Brahmin, as if it's something insulting. But then to know what one's quota is, and also what one's duty is. So if we walk around in clothes with holes in them, so we can save money for something else, but it may not be very impressive to people. In India, it doesn't matter. In the West, it does. So, in India, I don't bother getting my clothes ironed, but in the West I do. And I'm just gonna go over there, and I'm going to bathe Radha Damodar in cow urine. You ever bathe in cow urine?
No.
And not in cow dung either.
No.
Should try it. It's fantastic. That there was some kind of danger or demon, the Mother Yashoda would always bathe Krishna in cow urine. Don't you remember?
I didn't hear it.
It's in the Krishna book. It's in the Krishna book. And I'm going to see what this is like now that I diluted it with water. Because it's very strong. But when I was in Mayapur, I always drink a glass of cow urine in the morning. It's very healthy. Very good. Kidneys, liver, everything to do with cows is healthy. Govindam Adi Purusham Maham Chayanin. Well, Not a bill of our future. Who wants Charanamrita? Huh?
Me.
Okay, let me try first. Oh, it's very good. It's like vegetable soup.
Open your mouth, Gura.
Isn't it? It's like vegetable soup. That's it. How much oil is gone? Oh, that's not going to be. It's like a tea, which is one in there. That's a magic for looking at the pohar. Okay, for those who can't see what's going on, we're just drinking cow urine Charanamrita. So the real secret is to know what we're supposed to do, what our quota is, and that in perspective of where we are and what we're doing, preaching to the world around us. Anything more on that?
How does one find out what his quota is? Is it
that you have to be intelligent? That which comes without a necessary endeavor, atyahara prayachascha, pajalpaniya madraha, and which doesn't interfere with one's spiritual life, with other obligations. At least that's, you can say that's your economic quota, but there are other types of quotas. It's like, you know, some people have bad karma in marriage, so it's a quota. And other people have their natures, and that's what your nature is. Generally, you don't change it in one life. It takes multiple lives to change your nature, although you may be recognized by Vaishnava Diksha as being brahminical and so on, but the nature remains. So it requires contemplation and knowing the balance, just like we have the term yukta vairagya. But what's engageable and what's not engageable, or what can, not really what's engageable, because everything's engageable, but what is it I'm capable of engaging? Just because everything's engageable doesn't mean that I'm the one who's capable of engaging it, so I also have to know what's my limits. That's also equally important.
Just relating to this, one should be satisfied with their nature, but at the same time one should also strive for purification, becoming more brahmanical. So again, the same question, just so one doesn't become overly anxious that I can't do as I would like to do, but at the same time also not become too lazy or negligent or just give up trying.
Now, one may not become a Brahmin, but he has to become brahminical. And that happens by training and self-discipline. So if we don't undertake that training and self-discipline, then it won't happen. We shouldn't just think, I got initiated, I'm a Brahmin, I'm as good as a Brahmin. you're good as a Brahmin and that we have the eligibility now to do those things that Brahmins do because of initiation, and they also get training. Brahmins are also educated. That's why they go to Gurukul. Just not that they're Brahmin, therefore they don't have to go to school. So they also have to learn.